You are now listening to the Heroes for Sale podcast. Whether you are a new collector or a seasoned pro, on a daily basis, I cover topics to help you grow your hobby knowledge and strategies to make you money in the market. If you're into sports cards, you may be watching this video and thinking to yourself, Adam, haven't sports cards already sort of blown up? And yes, they have. From 2018 until now, there's been an insane amount of growth. And when 2018 is kind of when I got back into it, and it was something that I was just doing for fun, I thought, you know, maybe if there is this possibility that sports cards are going to become more popular, I want to be part of the kind of explosion, the revolution of sports cards. And I always thought that there was going to be a Pokemon Go type moment, because if you listen to Gary Vee talk about kind of this niche specific content, you probably heard him talk about Pokemon Go. And if you were a Pokemon blogger, or you made Pokemon videos, when Pokemon Go came out, you probably started doing pretty well, maybe even better than you were doing before, because if you think about how many people got into Pokemon or back into Pokemon around when Pokemon Go came out, it was insane compared to maybe even the past decade. And in my opinion, I thought sports cards were going to have one of these types of moments at some point in the future. I didn't know if it was going to be one moment or if it was going to be multiple different moments. I think it's pretty clear since 2018, there's going to be multiple different moments where this sort of thing happens. And, you know, I think we saw one of these moments happen over last weekend in the golden auctions with those Jordan sales. And here is one of the first reasons why I think sports cards are going to blow up again this year. I think maybe even having a more crazy year than 2020 is, I've been thinking about this quote. The quote from The Social Network where Justin Timberlake's character, who is Sean Parker in real life, he says, I think the quote was, $1 million isn't cool. You know what's cool? $1 billion. And I've been thinking about that quote a lot, and I think that's true. And I think one thing that people are maybe underestimating is that, you know, people with wealth and money, they're looking at maybe the Jordan card that's around $40,000, and it's not really on their radar. But when they see that the Jordan card jumped almost $500,000 in a month, that puts that card on their radar, and it puts cards on their radar. The card, maybe even at $250,000, isn't on their radar. Now that it's at almost $750,000, it's something that they're seriously going to look into. And this is sort of, you know, my opinion. I don't really necessarily have any facts to kind of go off this. I just, from the fact that, you know, we've seen so many new people get in and so many like celebrities coming into the space and talking about sports cards. And, you know, the Wolf of Wall Street was somebody who actually said that he was buying cards from Dan Fleischman, who owns the Coffee Breakers, Cards and Coffee, which is a shop down in LA. You know, there's some celebrities that have kind of gotten into it, and Gary Vee, obviously Steve Aoki. There's just a list of celebrities that have kind of gotten into this, and I think that is a fact of there is going to be a mover's advantage just with any social platform. The first people that got in on Instagram, it was a lot easier for them than someone who's getting in now. Maybe the first people on Twitter, the first people on Clubhouse, for another example, which I think is a really pretty cool app that I've kind of gotten into a little bit listening to some of the rooms. But like, and TikTok is another perfect example. Like if you look at the people who were on TikTok when it was Musical.ly or got in right when it switched to TikTok, all those people basically have like almost probably around 100,000 followers, if not 1 million followers, you know. So, and I think it's still sort of early. It's kind of not similar with sports cards, but I still think it's very early. You know, for someone like me, I'm almost at 10,000 followers on TikTok. I think I was one of the first card accounts on there. I know Bailey Joe Cards was also another account that was on there around the same time, but I think making the sports card content similar to what I was doing on Instagram, I was probably one of the first. I'm not 100% sure about that, but I would, based off of when I started and now seeing all these types of cards accounts, I would imagine I was pretty early on it. But there's always going to be early mover's advantage. You know, people bought real estate in Malibu. You know, they bought real estate for cheap, and now it's expensive. And there's just going to be, it's the same thing in almost every industry. The people, if an industry ends up blowing up, the people who were in it first are going to be along for that ride. And I think, you know, the people who got in, like the Gary V's and the Dan Fleischmans and Steve Aoki's, you know, they're all in there now buying cards. And I would imagine, you know, they're buying cards that are a lot different than maybe cards that me and you are buying. They're buying a lot of these high-end cards that are tripling, quadrupling. And, you know, what they're doing is they're probably going from, like, if they had inventory of $1 million, their million-dollar inventory, if I had to guess, is probably in the $3 to $4, maybe even $5 million range now for some of the people, depending on kind of when they were getting in. So, you know, that quote that I've been thinking of is the $1 million isn't cool. You know what's cool? $1 billion. And that's sort of where I'm seeing a lot of celebrities, in my opinion, wanting to get in. Now, like I said, I'm just kind of basing it off of kind of what I'm seeing and everybody kind of talking about it, because I just think that, you know, for the cards themselves, for that Jordan card, in October, I think I put out a post in October of 2019, that card was like, it had just broken the record for $30,000 for a PSA 10. Now it's $750,000, almost $750,000. But, you know, that's for a celebrity or for someone with a lot of wealth. They look at that asset now and they say, well, now we have some social proof that that card is going to, that card has a way more potential. It has potential to be a 1.5 or $2 million card in the future, where, you know, they probably looked at it before at $40,000 and they said, well, you know, what's the real potential of this card? Because if you looked at the growth of that card specifically, you know, obviously going from whatever it was in probably 2018 to $40,000 is significant, and that's a significant amount, but it wasn't really significant enough for someone who kind of, I think, has the wealth to really look at it and say, this is going to be a viable asset for me where I can move the needle on my wealth that I have. So I think another reason why sports cards are going to continue to kind of blow up in 2021 is because the high-end card market kind of changed. The face of the high-end card market has changed. From 2018 until late in 2020, the most expensive card was owned by Vegas Dave. Now, I'm not going to get into him and his business model. You know, if you were to ask him, he probably would agree. He's sort of playing like an evil villain online. Like, he's playing like, you know, if you're in a cartoon, he's playing the millionaire or billionaire who is trying to kind of, he's playing a character. That's just, I think that's correct. I don't know for sure, but if I had to guess, I'd say he's probably playing a character, you know, because he's run his business sort of in this way where if he says something that a lot of people don't like, he knows that there is going to be, whatever, 5, 10, 20% of people that see a post that's a repost that do like what he says. So, you know, he's okay with whatever the percentage of people who don't like him, as long as he's continuing to kind of grow his business. And, you know, it's a viable business model. Like, if you're on TikTok, there's tons of people who, you know, make off-color jokes and not jokes that are dark humor that aren't really, in my opinion, they're not funny, like but they have like a million followers. So it's just like, that's a way that they can run the business. But so, from 2018 when Vegas Dave bought the card to 2020 when he sold the card, the most expensive sports card, or at least from in maybe 2019 to 2020, the most expensive sports card was owned by Vegas Dave. Now, Rob Goh, who I interviewed on the podcast, and you definitely should go check that episode out, he bought the $5.2 million Mantle card. Now, Rob Goh is he's an entrepreneur. He's a CEO of the Dope clothing brand, which is a phenomenal brand and, you know, one that we've seen kind of throughout pop culture. But, like, I think the fact that if you are to now search most expensive sports card, Rob Goh's picture is going to show up with that Mantle card. If you were to search that in December of 2020, Vegas Dave's picture is going to show up. So I think the high-end card market really got they got a new face. They got a new kind of leader of the pack in terms of the person who bought that card, because I think they both had similar approaches, not like similar approaches, but they both were attached to that card, which I think is very smart if you're buying that card because of the amount of press they can get just from that card and from buying and then whenever they decide to sell. But, you know, Vegas Dave was the owner. He was the owner of the most expensive sports card, so, you know, I think there was people that probably looked at that and said, well, if that's the guy, like, is that the guy, like, that is buying and selling? Like, is he the persona of the person in sports cards? But now it's Rob Goh, who, you know, runs definitely a different type of business. His ship is totally different than Vegas Dave. He is now the face of high-end sports cards. So I think people look at that specifically, and I think that's actually one of the main reasons why we're going to see more celebrities and more people get in, maybe even more than just the fact that these Jordan cards are increasing astronomically, I think the fact that there is a new face of high-end cards is a pretty significant deal. So the last reason that I'm going to talk about here, and this was kind of something that I've discussed in a group chat that I'm in on Instagram, I kind of brought up a lot of these points, and it seemed like most people agreed, and one of the points that I thought was really great that someone else brought up was that there's probably going to be people who are millionaires, billionaires, who say, I don't want just one of these cards. I want all of them. Like, there's maybe somebody out there that has the wealth, that has $1 billion, and they look at the LeBron, the exquisite number 23, and they may say, I want all 23 of those cards. Now, that's a kind of an extreme example, but I think there are going to be people who are out here, like, that have the money to do something that's similar to that. You know, they may look at it and say, I want all 10 of the Luka Gold Prism cards, and I want all 10 of them. You know, I think there was one of them that recently sold on Golden Auctions. I believe it was around $400,000 for a PSA 10, which is a one of three. I think there's two other PSA 10s, but I think there is going to be somebody who wants to get into sports cards that says, I want to buy all of those things. Like, for example, Logan Paul, on one of his recent purchases, and if you've been following Golden Auctions and Logan Paul, they're doing a similar auction to what he did before with one of the first edition boxes. I think in the video, he said that, and he may have been exaggerating, but I think this is a point that is accurate, and I think is one that is true. In his video, he said he wants to buy all of the first edition boxes that are unopened in existence. Now, he bought 5 of them, which ended up coming out to around $2 million, which he's actually now selling the packs, I believe, which is, you know, an incredibly smart business model. Like, it's the high-end breaking is a pretty wild kind of thing that he's doing. But I think the fact that, you know, somebody is willing to spend the $2 million to buy 5 different first edition boxes, I think there's going to be people who are maybe on a much larger, wealthier scale, because, you know, there's millionaires and billionaires who love sports. And I think I just look at it that way and I say, there's no reason why, if someone like myself likes buying sports cards and I'm into sports, I'm into fantasy sports, I'm into sports gambling, somebody that has $1 billion that also has sort of similar interests, there's no reason why they're not looking at sports cards and saying, well, I want to get in and I want to be able to buy the most expensive and buy all of maybe potentially all of a certain set and then have all the cards of a certain set. Now, you know, I don't know if it's exactly the gold Lukas that someone would want to buy, but, you know, I just look at it and say someone with, like I said, $1 billion, and there is a decent amount of billionaires that have wealth in the United States. Maybe it's even someone like Mark Cuban. Maybe Mark Cuban looks at it and says, I want to buy all the gold Lukas, or I want to buy, you know, maybe all of the number to 5 National Treasures Lukas. I don't think anyone would be looking to spend and buy all of the National Treasures number to 99. I don't know if it's even possible, but, like, that's just an example. And I think that isn't unrealistic for someone who has the money to buy all these cards, especially when you think about it and you think that if they just buy all of them, they then have the control of what they want to either sell them at, or, you know, they have a significant portion of what that market ends up becoming. And it's not like you're buying all of a pair of shoes or all of a car. Well, cars and shoes you can sell for more, but I'm trying to think of an example. You know, you're not buying something that is disposable. Like, you're not buying something that's going to be thrown away. You're buying the assets. Like, you're buying assets that will most likely go up in value and that you'll be able to sell in the future. So I think that's another very specific reason why I think that sports cards are going to continue to increase. You know, if you have any other thoughts or opinions on that, I definitely would be interested if you want to leave those in the comments. Make sure if you like this video, because we're going to be wrapping it up, make sure you hit the subscribe button and then also hit the like button. Like I said, if you have any thoughts on sports cards blowing up, make sure you leave them in the comments. I definitely think I can understand how people may get frustrated with sports cards becoming more expensive, but I just think that it's the reality of anything that has monetary value, anything that's a hobby that has that monetary value. You know, I think that's just, it's one of these cycles of what potentially could happen. And, you know, it's obviously unfortunate that for maybe 20, 30, 40 years, you really could have been buying, like, Luka, you could have been buying these blue chip prospect cards for pretty significant, for a lot less, for a percentage of what they're going for now. And I think there's still, you know, you're not going to be able to buy maybe the Prism cards, but there's other cards that you will be able to buy. And I empathize with people who maybe get frustrated at someone like me who talks about all they talk about is like value going up and, you know, they're being priced out of the hobby. I empathize with them because I understand that it can be frustrating that if you've been doing this for 20, 30 years, you still like it and you still want to be involved. But I just think markets that have this type of monetary value, I definitely think you can run into an issue that will be similar to this where, you know, they are assets that you're buying and now there's a lot of value behind them where maybe in 20, you know, there was a spike in 2016 and then into 2018 there was another sort of spike and now we're seeing another one 2020. I just think that's it's the cycle of what is going to happen with assets that are like this, even if it's a hobby. So, you know, that's all I've got for today's video. I want to thank you for watching. Make sure you hit subscribe, all that good stuff. Go follow on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and I will see you in the next video.